A short session to allow Brett Smith to give you all an update on how things are going with V3 licensing and also give you an opportunity to ask any licensing questions that you have. So Brett Smith, our compliance engineer, or as he prefers to be called, licensing guru.
Thank you, everyone. Good afternoon. As he said, I'm Brett Smith, and I deal with basically everything license-related that comes through the FSF. So whether it's revisions of the licenses or other legal support that GNU projects need, answering questions from free software developers, all those things I'm involved with one way or another. This isn't really a speech or a talk. I don't have any greater point or anything like that. I just want to provide people with a brief overview or maybe just sort of a reminder, a trip down memory lane of what's happened with licenses over the past year since our last member meeting to let people know where we are and a little bit about where we're going in the future. I'll probably start on June 29th when we finally released version 3 of the GNU GPL. It was a tremendous effort, and it went amazingly well. Everybody had praise for it. Well, you know, except for the usual suspects. But lots of companies liked it. Lots of developers liked it. It got a very warm reception. So that went really well. We simultaneously released version 3 of the GNU Lesser General Public License. It's a tremendous improvement over version 2. Since it's built on top of GPL V3, instead of being written as its own license, it's a lot easier to understand, and the way it works, it's easier for developers to see how that relates to the development that they do. On that same day, 15 GNU projects were immediately released under the corresponding version 3 of their license, whether GPL or LGPL. We also published about 10 questions in our FAQ to address some common misconceptions or concerns that people had and had expressed to us during the drafting process through comments or through the discussion committees. So we could try to, you know, right off the bat, we were educating people about how the license worked. Pretty much the day afterwards, we started working on all the support structure that we needed for the license. So for example, some GNU projects have interactions with other programs that aren't released under a GNU license, and so we've had to help them understand what they can and cannot do. Some GNU projects have exceptions to their license. For example, GCC has some exceptions to say that you can use some of its libraries in broader ways than the GPL normally allows. We've been working for many months on trying to consolidate and update those exceptions so that they work better with GPL V3. And that process has been going pretty well, and I hope we're going to be finished with it soon. The license seems to, all the licenses so far have seemed to have gotten pretty good reception from the community at large. For example, I know pretty much all the distributions at this point have software released under GPL V3 and LGPL V3 included in them. Various, you know, sort of blessing committees have given their nod to GPL V3 and said, yes, this is a good license. So things have gone really well. We even have logos on our website for projects to use if they want to advertise the fact that they're using a V3 license. I know you are familiar with the red GPL and then a swoopy 3 logo. We also have some for the LGPL and the AGPL, which I'll be talking about a little later. They all look similar, but they're very easy to recognize, and they really communicate to your users right away that, you know, so they can understand, see very easily that you're using the license terms that protect them the most. So if you've got a project under V3, I would definitely encourage you to use one of those logos on your website or in your program. A little bit later, in November, we released a document we called a quick guide to GPL V3. The FAQ is very helpful if you have a specific question, but with the new version of the license, a lot of people were asking us questions along the lines of, well, what's in it for me? Reasonable question. So what the quick guide to GPL V3 does is it goes through the major changes between GPL v2, briefly explains what it is, why we made the change, and how it benefits developers and the development community. So for example, I recently was having a conversation with one of our attorneys at the Software Freedom Law Center, and he explained that he was writing a similar document, and I was like, oh, what's wrong with mine? You know, feeling a little defensive. And he said, I think it's great, except for lawyers. And I'm like, oh yeah, I agree. It's horrible for lawyers. I left things out that lawyers would care about because I wanted it to be easy for developers to understand. So if you're interested in this issue, if you still are trying to figure out whether or not V3 is right for your project, or if you know people who are in that position, definitely send them in that direction. You can find a link to the quick guide on the page for the license itself, so it's pretty easy to find. Then just a couple weeks later, we released version 3 of the GNU Afero general public license. Mako was talking about it up here just an hour ago. I'll elaborate a little bit on one point he made. There were three projects contesting for the right to be the first project released under AGPL v3. It was Mako's own Selectricity, which is some voting software. It was STET, the commenting system that the Software Freedom Law Center helped build for us and that we used for the GPL v3 commenting process. And then a network database called Neo4j. So as far as I'm concerned, we have three first projects released under the GNU AGPL, which is a great situation to be in. And there's been a lot of excitement about the license since then. I've read a couple press releases from like startups who have released their main program under the AGPL, and they seem really excited about it. And it's good to see that, you know, people are learning about it who aren't necessarily, you know, steeped in like free software ethics, but also like business people and so on. There's been some renewed interest in it too, since it also got blessing from the Open Source Institute, or initiative, sorry. So that covers pretty much everything that's happened with the software license. Things are moving along at about the pace I should have realistically expected. I was a little more optimistic when we first started. I was hoping that we would be able to get some of the legal infrastructure, like new exceptions for GNU projects, in place a little sooner. But it's important to get this stuff right, and we're definitely doing that, and the effort's all gonna pay off, I'm pretty sure. So I think that's going very well. That leaves the only thing outstanding in the licensing world would be the free documentation license. We actually have released a draft of version 2 of the free documentation license. It's available on gplv3.fsf.org. You can go there and comment on it the same way that everyone was able to comment on all the software licenses that we released. With it, we also released a draft, simplified free documentation license, which removes a lot of the requirements that a lot of authors have said that they're not really interested in. It makes the license more complicated for them. They would rather just not deal with it at all. So we'd like to make this option available to them. For example, it removes invariant sections. It removes front cover text, back cover texts. You get the idea. And that's been pretty, people have definitely been interested in that and have expressed a desire to use it. So, well, we're looking forward to that as well. Not much has happened in the world of the free documentation. Well, I shouldn't say that. I should say we've spent a lot of time thinking about how to move forward with the free documentation license since then for a couple reasons. One, there are a lot of stakeholders in the FDL. Like the GPL is a license that can be used for many different kinds of materials, but it is primarily software focused and will always stay that way. The free documentation license also has its focuses. It's meant for like software documentation, reference works, those sorts of things. But it sees a lot more use outside of those niches. So photographs, videos, all sorts of things under the free documentation license. So one of the challenges we're faced with is trying to make sure, at the very least, that the changes that we're contemplating making aren't going to interfere with those sorts of uses. And it's a challenge we're happy to work on, but it definitely takes some time. The other thing is, and the second thing is that the free documentation license is a lot newer than our software licenses as well. People have, a lot of different ideas about, you know, what freedom means in a documentation context. Things aren't as settled as they are in the free software world. So we also have to, you know, we have more fundamental questions to ask. We kind of have to think for ourselves, well, what kind of, you know, whether or not certain, you know, how will certain requirements affect people's ability to use this documentation freely? So, you know, that has kept us from making the same kind of rapid progress that we did with GPLv3. Again, we are working on it. I think it is good to work on it at this pace to make sure we get everything right rather than to get it rushed out the door. That said, there is sort of a sort of sidetrack of FDL development. Some of you may have seen the news that Wikimedia Foundation asked us to change the free documentation license in such a way so that they would be able to consider moving to a completely different license, probably a Creative Commons license. We've heard those calls, and we're very close to a solution. If you pay attention over the next, say, couple weeks or month, you will probably see public progress on that front. We definitely do want to assist them and help them with that request. So there will probably be some kind of interim release of the free documentation license to accommodate that. But the work on version 2 will still go on as well. We definitely do want to do that because there are a lot of improvements that we made for all our software licenses that we want to incorporate into the free documentation license as well. For example, improved internationalization, avoiding terms that are specific to United States copyright law, improved warranty disclaimers, so on and so forth. So that'll all be an important part of the version 2 process. So there's been a lot of interest in all this. A lot of projects have released under these licenses. OpenOffice.org being one of the most recent ones, Qt, Samba in the early days, SugarCRM. There's broad support around all these licenses, and it's been really great to see. We still do have a lot of education effort to do. I get reminded of that pretty much every time I talk to someone outside the foundation. But it's important work, and we're doing that as well. And I hope that today can be a part of that. So I think I have some time to take some questions about either the revision process or the new licenses or any other kind of licensing related issues you might have. So feel free to step up to the mic.
So could you say a few words about why the Wikimedia folks want to move to a Creative Commons license and whether you view that as a loss, at least in publicity for us?
Someone from Wikimedia might be better equipped to answer the first part of that question, at least. Do either of you want to take a stand on that? Or?
Hi, I'm Kat Walsh. I'm on the board of the Wikimedia Foundation. And mainly what we're trying to do is not so much move to a Creative Commons license, but there's a really large body of content out there under a Creative Commons license, such as the CC BY-SA, and a lot of people want to use that content and incorporate it into Wikimedia projects, such as Wikipedia and Wikibooks and things like that. And we can't really do that, and a lot of people have concerns because the two licenses are pretty similar in spirit, the CC BY-SA and GFDL, but the technicalities make them incompatible. So what we'd like to be able to do is make people able to somehow use that material together without violating any of the expectations that people had putting their material under the licenses to begin with. So it's taken some work to make that possible. So that's really what we're moving toward, and we hope to make some progress on that. So.
Yeah, there's a hope that when we finish with this process, actually the two licenses will be compatible at least in certain situations. Certainly it's not going to be the case that you're going to be able to take the GNU Emacs manual and release it under a Creative Commons license, but and for certain kinds of works you will be able to start having a deeper connections between works under the FDL and works under a Creative Commons or certain Creative Commons licenses. So I think the benefit of having that will be very good publicity for us, and I think that's probably more important in the long run for the community as a whole than necessarily just being able to say, oh, Wikipedia is released under the FDL. Actually got a I was recently awarded with a Barn Star from Wikipedia for answering so many questions about the FDL that come from Wikipedia users. So we've had a very interesting relationship for quite some time because, like, we, you know, people will email me and be like, so I was looking at the photograph of, James Monroe, and I wanted to know if I could put it in my movie. So if you could please give me permission to do that, that would be great. And I'd be like, I don't remember ever taking a photograph of James Monroe. I'm not sure anybody did. Of course, that's a question that's inspired by a picture of James Monroe from Wikipedia. So I have to know that and then go ahead and answer the question. And it happens a lot. But they get our questions too, so it's fair. Anything else? Yeah.
What progress has there been in convincing regular corporations that the GPL isn't something they should be scared of? A lot of them just take the very conservative approach and, you know, stop things without figuring out where they should and where they shouldn't. It's a lot of it's education that has to be done.
Yeah, and there's actually more and more businesses are starting to adopt the position that actually the GPL is the best license for a business releasing software. Not just a good license, the best license. Because the copyleft ensures that if they have competitors that enter the field, they'll be able to incorporate any changes that those competitors make, and then basically the companies will end up competing on issues like service being able to say that you authored the majority of it and you know it best, so you'll be able to provide the best service is often a position that companies like to be in. Oh, just on that basic. Well, so the reason I brought that argument up is I think that because those people are out in front, I think the people in back are going to start to get pushed forward and to realize that, you know, if these people are saying it's the best thing for business, it's probably not poisonous at least. So I think I'm optimistic at least that basically the businesses are going to educate each other, and that seems to be happening slowly. Different businesses have different issues, and it's very complicated. But in the general sense, things seem to be going well. And of course, all the materials we publish on our website are totally available to companies the same way that they're available to you and me. We have many FAQs about, you know, if you use the software, you don't have to share it with people. If you do share it with some people, you don't have to publish the source to the entire world, so on and so forth. There's a lot of that kind of don't panic in the FAQ.
Hello. I'm wondering, is there any news about or signs that some of the most popular, biggest free software right now, like MediaWiki or Alfresco, things like that, are going to move to AGPL3? Any signs of that or news or talk?
I've heard some of the business people rumbling. Like, so Finamble, as Mako said, released under their software under the Affera GPL v3. There are a couple of other businesses that are lesser known that released under AGPL v3 as well. They're so lesser known that I don't remember their names. I saw their press releases. I'm sure that it actually happened. So there are signs that the business community is aware of the AGPL and that they are interested in using it. But in terms of like concrete commitments from the kinds of projects you're talking about, I'm afraid I haven't heard anything yet. So it looks like we might be ready to start the forum. So, thank you.